This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chunky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. The show is brought to you by EMP 180 Weight Loss. They are the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. EMP180weightloss.com. It's Bish, Cakes, EB, and JP. That's the foursome. You want to get in touch with us on the Hadid Carpet Clean Lister lines, you can at 800-636-1067. Of course, Jason was out sick yesterday. You'll enjoy this. Last night, after I finally get to bed, which was roughly around 11:45, fall asleep, and at about 12:15, our fire alarm starts going off. But not the full fire alarm.
Yeah.
The battery is low, and I don't know if yours is like this.
Chirping.
Did you have a hard time finding it?
Yeah. Well, I didn't even want to deal with it.
Oh, I never want to deal with it.
It was 12:15 at night, and the chirp is once every minute or so.
Yeah, but you don't want to deal with it, you have to.
Which room was it in?
You know, we did.
Was it in your bedroom?
It was in the bedroom.
Oh, I couldn't sleep.
And we just went upstairs and used one of the empty rooms.
I couldn't sleep.
Yeah, but you still didn't hear the faint...
A little bit.
You definitely hear it.
I can hear it.
And
but
it's
I was,
in your head. It's in your brain. You can't get past it.
I was so tired. It was 12:15 or 12:30. I just said, you know what? This is it. And then I put kind of the covers over my head.
Yeah, that's what it is right there. It is annoying. I don't know how you can't sleep.
And you never have a backup 9-volt ready to go.
It's like being in a torture chamber. That's what that is.
Today I should go out and buy 59-volt batteries so the next time I hear that, I'm ready to rock.
I'll tell you what happened
movie.
One time.
But I mean, would you
do that? Because in my bedroom, we have a high, really high ceiling.
Yeah.
Really high ceiling. And the alarm is on the very top of the wall.
Or it's going to get
louder. It's probably 25 feet in the air.
You can't even reach it?
No, I can't reach it. It's probably 25 feet in the air. In the middle of the night, I don't know, this happened a couple years ago. I had to go, middle of the night, 2 in the morning, went off. Had to go down to the garage and get that freaking ladder up.
Yep.
Drag the ladder up the stairs and set the ladder up to pull the battery out. At 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
That's how bad it was.
It sucks.
Can't sleep when that happens.
No, it was awful, but I did manage to get my, you know, four and a half hours of sleep. I just didn't want to deal with it because I don't know if I had the battery, and I'm not going to Harris Teeter in the middle of the night.
Of course you're not.
I sleep in my skivvies. I don't have any clothes on. I'd have to get completely dressed, go get a battery, screw that, found another room. Plus, the other thing is every time I put in the new batteries, it doesn't just stop beeping. It'll keep beeping until you hit the reset.
Yeah, you have to press the button.
And then the reset that always ends up making a loud noise.
Sure.
Would have woken up the baby.
It's butt loud.
So now, just made the move upstairs.
If you find the one that's chirping, and I've had issues
finding. I
know
the one that's chirping.
I know, but sometimes, like, if you have multiple levels, you can't find it. You can't find it. You're like, damn it, where is it?
You're searching the whole house.
You hear it, and then you wait. You have to wait
for the next one
to try to track it down.
You still can't identify it.
Yeah.
You're going to listen for a half hour to find it.
So if you pull the 9-volt out and don't replace it, it should stop chirping, right?
That's what I've done before. I've taken them off.
Just pull the battery.
It basically trashed them.
I mean, it's dicey.
Just pull the thing, yank the thing off the wall.
Yeah, because then you're like,
deal with
it
later.
Yeah. I mean, most likely not going to have a fire tonight. I'll just pull the battery out for one night and put the 9-volt blinky
in tomorrow. What are the odds that you have a fire?
No, it's awful.
That,
it's terrible.
It's a terrible thing.
It really is.
Now, I will be kind of Rick because now my wife has plenty of time to deal with this until I get home. But my guess is it won't
That's a man's thing to deal with. Is
To put a battery in. I mean, anybody can do that.
It just is. You know what? I would never expect my wife to get on a ladder and replace a 9-volt.
I don't have a 25-foot. You get it on a stool.
Cakes, I would.
Okay.
I would.
A stool. Don't need a ladder.
Well, I make her go up the ladder when that happens in our bedroom. I don't do it. I'll bring the ladder upstairs.
Trust
but
me,
she's
I try
going
to
up.
Avoid ladders at all costs. At all costs. But if I need, if something needs a ladder, I'm generally the one doing it in my house.
Mm-hmm. So if by chance you were able to win the Final Four, you wouldn't cut down the nets because you'd have to get on a Warner ladder?
I guess I would do it, but I would be very careful. And I wouldn't go above.
Have you had an accident? Has there been some trauma? Why do you have no faith in ladders?
Because people fall off ladders all the time. All the time. Kill themselves, snap their necks. So I try to avoid ladders at all costs. I just do.
Anyway, you were out sick yesterday. What happened? You look good?
No, I actually was not sick.
I mean, he shaved. Not. He looks fresh.
No. It was not sick. I had an awful night Monday night with my shoulder. It was excruciating pain. I couldn't sleep.
What'd they say on the MRI?
Well, you want me to tell you now or you want the doctor to tell you? I thought you wanted the doctor to say
I don't
on
know
air.
What you're talking about. Is the doctor scheduled to call in or something?
Well, not today, but he would call in.
Oh, that means, matter to me. That means you have some news.
You can deliver the news.
I mean, do you guys care?
Yeah. Drum roll. I mean, so curious. You do have a tear. You definitely have a tear. I don't think how significant is the tear? That's the question.
Official diagnosis from Dr. Jeff Berg in Reston.
Yeah. I got a poop.
You got a poop?
Yeah. Go ahead. I can wait.
Why don't you go poop?
No, I can wait. Like three. Sorry, I'm just telling you.
Hold
about
on. Stream
the consciousness.
Just keep those ratings up.
Bish.
We will take a break and then come back and do it.
Yeah, we should. Take a break. No. Bish has no structural damage in his left shoulder.
Very good.
So what is it?
Impingement?
It's called, have you ever heard of this? Frozen shoulder.
Yes.
You have heard of frozen shoulder?
I have never heard of it before. Every person I know that has it is a chick,
though. You have an Elsa shoulder?
Really? Well, I must be a chick.
I know like three chicks that have had frozen shoulders.
I have a frozen shoulder.
That's hilarious.
And a
never
frozen,
heard of that.
I hadn't either.
I've
I had no idea. What
heard
I said,
of that.
What is that? He goes, this is what it is. A lot of people in their 40s get it.
My shoulder's room temp.
It's basically,
I didn't know guys get that. I thought you had to have a vagina.
Maybe I do. I don't know. So it's basically extreme inflammation in my shoulder.
Wow.
In the bursa sac, in the tendons.
Your bursa sac's very angry.
Very angry.
You have a frozen shoulder. And
but let me tell you something. But it's good news, by the way.
Yeah.
Because you don't need surgery. Surgery's not imminent, but it's not ruled out either.
Right. Because they can do surgery for frozen
shoulder. They can do surgery.
Put a hair dryer to heat it up. Yeah. Call Bryce Harper. He loves doing two hair dryers.
Hey, they can do surgery on women on their shoulders. But let me just tell you something. He prescribed a pain med, and I looked it up today. Yeah. Right.
It's hey, called, don't become part of the opioid crisis over there.
Yeah, right.
It's careful.
Called, hold on. Where is it? It's called Tramadol.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Tramadol. I can see why Philip Seymour Hoffman loved him so much.
Oh, really?
Did you
Tramadol,
feel silly?
Tramadol was so awesome last night.
Frozen silly. God, this song's a smash.
Valdez,
wait,
Tramadol is unbelievable. I will become addicted to Tramadol.
What's the treatment for this? Like, how does it get better?
It's anti-inflammatories. It's PT. And if that doesn't work, then they go in, they scope it, and it's a lot of scar tissue.
Clean it up.
They clean it out.
But weren't you doing this kind of stuff beforehand?
I wasn't taking anti-inflammatories. I was just doing PT.
How long did they say it's going to take to get back to normal?
They said it could take
to get unfrozen.
They said it could take 6 months. They said it could take 18 to 24 months.
How much golf is in your immediate future?
I don't think I can play golf this summer.
Really?
I mean, unless it just gets better, you know, quicker than they expect.
You won't sell your clubs and make a quick profit and
not
then
yet.
buy some more, like
not
in
yet.
A year?
No, because I'm going to end up, if it's not better by the fall, I'm just going to have surgery on it. But here's the deal.
Mm.
So here's the point of the story is Tramadol is amazing.
It's a wonder drug.
I felt like I was flying last night.
So it's just a full-on painkiller?
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
This article says Tramadol, the most dangerous drug in the world.
I can see why.
Is that true?
I can see why.
Are you dreaming about it? Like, do you get psyched?
I can't wait until tonight.
You know,
I can't wait until tonight about 7:30.
Yeah. If I had that feeling, it would scare the poop out of me.
You're not having.
I
like,
wouldn't take it again.
You're not having like happy hour cocktails, and then
I'm
Tramadol.
Taking it again. I'm
Why?
Taking it again tonight. I'm taking it tomorrow.
You
night.
Will feel
that's
groggy
the
next day. Like how many hours?
I feel good right now.
I know, but my point is sometimes when you take. So you go to bed so early, I guess, that you're not affected
night.
In the morning commute.
I watched that dumb Caps game until 10 o'clock.
But I'm saying it makes you feel loopy, right?
Oh, I felt loopy.
So you can't drive after taking the Tramadol.
I guess maybe technically you're not supposed to.
Jason, you're not you're not having cocktails like while you're watching games.
There you
I didn't
are
last
you,
night.
Are you washing it down with a vodka chaser?
I didn't last night, but I might tonight.
That's dangerous.
I'll let him do what he
oh,
wants
well.
To do.
Oh, well.
And you're probably taking big dosage of it since you're a big lurch.
No, two pills every 6 hours. Dude, I'm telling you, you should take one. It's amazing.
Tramadol?
Hold on. Isn't it? Are opioids what's in heroin?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, heroin is an opioid.
I wouldn't take it.
As is morphine.
I honestly wouldn't take it because it would scare me that, look how silly you feel right now.
Oh, I can't wait.
Right.
Because it's bothering me a little bit right now.
Right.
And it's going to bother me more as the day goes on.
Is there an over-the-counter version of Tramadol?
And I'm going to pop these things tonight right around dinner time, and I'm going to be money. I'm going to
prescribed.
I'm going to feel good.
It doesn't matter that it's prescribed. That would scare me that I get that size for it.
Hey, but official diagnosis, frozen shoulder.
Look that up. Do males ever get that?
Apparently so.
I'm the only male who's gotten it ever.
I just know like three people in there.
I'd never heard of it.
Dr.
I neither.
Yeah.
All right. Later in the show, Mike Rizzo is going to join us. We'll talk about the Nats with the president and GM. But next, our pal Chris Russell will join us to give us some insight on the Capitals, who, of course, win in double overtime last night.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Like, I have terrible posture, but I think your posture is pretty good. My whole life I've been a woman. You just must have a lot of estrogen. You just have a lot of estrogen.
Probably. I agree. But I think what's going to happen is, and people just take everything I say so literal. Guy's going, Kurt Angle, I was taking 50 to 100 tramadols a day. Be careful.
Right. I am being serious about it. Be careful. I know you're exaggerating.
I'm not
how
become
amazing.
It is amazing, but I'm not going to become addicted
you're
to
gonna
it.
You're going to take the recommended dosage. You're going to be responsible.
Right. I don't think, anyway. But what's going to happen is, tramadol is just the pain med. It's not the anti-inflammatory, right? Once I start taking the anti-inflammatory, hopefully I start seeing some results.
What happened? If not,
what they do is they put you under, and then they just basically start moving your shoulder in ways that you can't do it when you're awake.
Right.
And they break up all the tissue. And
that sounds horrifying.
It's extremely painful.
That sounds horrifying.
Last night, two nights ago, it was extremely painful. Worst it's ever been.
Yeah.
So it can get really bad. But thank God for Tramadol.
All right. We opened the show talking about the Caps getting that double overtime late win against Columbus to stay alive in that series. They still trail the series 2-1. Join us right now to give us some insight. Capitals insider. 4-106-7, the fan is Chris Russell. He's presented by Dominion Jewelers, custom engagement rings and jewelry in the heart of Falls Church. They make it beautiful. You make it yours, DominionJewelers.com. Hey, Chris.
JP, fellas, good morning.
Good morning, Rooster. How are you?
What was the key to the Caps win, in your opinion?
The key was crashing the net, dirty goals, never stopping grinding really throughout, you know, the four full periods and into the second overtime, and they dominated that second overtime. They were flying after looking pretty dead, quite honestly, with their skates in the first overtime. If you look at the game-winning goal, you look at the goal that was ultimately disallowed by Connolly, which was a bang-bang call offsides. We can, I'm sure, get to that at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But that game-winning goal is set up by an outlet pass from their zone. In transition, Devontae Smith-Pelly right around the center line gets it up the left wing to Brett Connolly, who's playing on his off wing. He takes a good, hard, high shot. It goes off of Bobrovsky, and boom, Lars Eller is there along with Pelly, who comes in kind of late, but Lars Eller is crashing the net from the other side, and he gets a rebound, and he kind of, you know, bangs it home, and it kind of takes a weird bounce, and in. That's the kind of dirty goal that this team has never, ever, ever gotten enough of, especially when it comes to the playoffs. That's the type of goal that teams that make it to the conference finals, the Stanley Cup finals, win the cup, always seem to get, and seemingly it always goes against the Caps.
And Chris, you could see that mentality even before the game winner. I can't remember exactly where it was in the game, but Ovi got the puck, and instead of just rifling it from the from the circle from 30 feet away. He barreled into Bobrovsky and tried to stuff it past him, collided with him, basically knocked him into the net. So you're right. The Caps were not settling for just long bombs. They were trying to get, you know, the greasy, ugly goals, and hopefully that's something we're going to see going forward in the series as well.
Yeah, it's a good point, Cakes. There's no doubt about that. They were definite, and, you know, I hate to criticize and say, look, they didn't know what to do in years. Of course they did. It's a matter of knowing what to do and then executing it. Like, you know, they've talked all year long, and they were last in shots on goal per game across the board in the NHL pretty much all year. And they talked all along quality over quantity. Well, it's a different method. It's a different mentality. It's a different type of format, I guess, in the postseason when you're not playing, you know, the Florida Panthers, or when you're not playing, you know, the New York Islanders, who suck on defense. You need to do this type of thing. You need to shoot in heavy volume, which they have in this series and pretty much again did last night. And you need to again go hard to the hole. And, you know, you just get these type of – think about it this way too. You know, not that they've got hard to the net on the first two goals of the last two games, but – the last two games, they've started off with a shot from the point and a deflected goal from Tom Wilson last night, off the shot from Matt Niskanen. And Sunday night, it was your guy, Jay Beagle, off of the shot from Brooks Orpik. So these are the type of things now that are starting to click in for the Caps.
I would agree with you, Chris, on your keys from last night's win. But look, for the first time in this series, we had the better goaltender. And that was huge. He looked confident. And you know, I said from the outset, I think we thought we should have been playing him. But I understand why Trotz went to Grubby. But you know, hope he's the guy now. So hopefully he plays like that on Thursday too, because that was a huge key.
Yeah, Jason, I was wrong on that. So I'll take, you know, whatever part of that. I thought Grubauer was going to be better. He wasn't. He was really bad to his glove side high. Even Holtby gave up a glove side high goal last night. But he made some huge saves, including that one from behind the net where Cam Atkinson, who has scored a couple of goals in this series, streaming right at him, you know, right in the slot, kind of off to his left. I think Holtby's left. And he just, boom. And Panarin, who we know is really, really dangerous, scored a goal last night. He flips a backhander, you know, kind of high from the left wing, and Holtby swallows that up amongst, what, 30 other saves or whatever it was. You're absolutely right. And he gave them the confidence, saying, hey, you know what, when we were under siege in the first overtime, I got you. Now, the post helped. They hit four posts. So you can make an argument that technically Braden Holtby probably was beaten more times than just the twice he was beaten. But hey, that's hockey. That's the breaks. I was talking to somebody late Sunday night after the game, and they said, you know, somebody's been around this. This team never gets lucky. They never get a break. Well, there you go. The Columbus Blue Jackets hit four posts last night.
Chris, you mentioned Panarin. He's got eight straight multi-point games dating back to the regular season. He's just a full-on headache for the Caps. How do they try to neutralize him going forward? And on a side note, why would Chicago ever get rid of him? Was it just a deal where they knew that down the line they wouldn't be able to pay him the sort of money that he would command? Why would they part with such an amazing young talent?
That's a great question. I think sometimes, you know, when you're a more veteran team, and they got one of their key guys back, Brandon Saab, in that deal.
Yeah.
You know, there's cap things. I would have to revisit all of the different elements of that deal, but all I know is Artemi Panarin's freaking awesome. And Columbus, you know, he's made John Tortorella's team from this, you know, heavy kind of physical team, which they were last year when they got bounced in five by Pittsburgh. And they were good, but heavy physical to fast and freaky athletic, right? And he's not the only one. There's other guys. We can go into that. The bottom line is he's really good with his stick in his off wing. He's a terrific passer, and he's a sniper extraordinaire. And there's not much the kid can't do. He plays hard, too. He plays his ass off. So everything that you want to see in a young hockey player, you see in Artemi Panarin. Now, that being said, what can they do? Well, first, stay out of the box. Don't give him any power play opportunities. They didn't do a great job of that last night. But I thought, like, in the first overtime, I don't know if you guys you know, remember this, and somebody yelled at me on Twitter about it, but I thought it was key. Tom Wilson skates literally around the perimeter of the attacking zone with him, you know, probably for about 125 feet in total distance, around and around and around. Panarin's trying to look for space. He's trying to get speed. He's trying to look for a shot, and Tom Wilson's right on his hip. To me, that little thing right there, denying that guy the flow, denying that guy the opportunity, huge.
What is it about this team that I guess allows them to play this type of hockey where they are playing tight games? They're playing overtime games all the time. I think this is 12 of the last 22 playoff games have been OT games. There have only been four OT games in the playoffs, and the Caps have played three of them.
Right, they played three of them.
I mean, what is it about? Is it just the product of where they play? Is it the opponent? What is it?
I think it's I think it's a lack of killer instinct, one, which always seems to get them. And I hate saying that because it's not like, you know, they're accused of not giving a great effort, not caring, not wanting. That's BS. That's nonsense. But I do think it's fair to say they don't have a lack of they don't have a killer instinct that some other great teams have. I think that's fair. So that's one. Two, their defense is not great. Three, they take a lot of stupid penalties. Now, you can make the argument for a lot of teams that they take stupid penalties, but the Caps take more than their share of stupid penalties, and that all comes back ultimately to bite them. Now, should all of these games be going? No, of course they shouldn't. But, you know, that's playoff hockey, too. These teams are evenly matched. I mean, a lot of people are picking Columbus in the series. A lot of us here in Washington and some people around the NHL community were picking the Capitals. I mean, everybody knew this was going to be a fight. I don't know if we expected three overtime games out of the first three. But, hey, here we are. The key thing for me, Jason, that I worry about, and guys, I hope they don't come out dead on Thursday night. They're going to take today off. They're going to ice. They're going to do all that stuff. Barry's been giving them as many days off as he possibly can. But, you know, they need the fresh legs that they got inserted in the lineup last night. Think about this, guys. Jacob Vrána came back in. He was out game two, scratched, right? He was flying around, drew two penalties, couple of slashes, couple of good scoring opportunities. I think he had four shots on goal. Chandler Stephenson, fourth line guy who was center game one, left wing game two. He was flying around in overtime. The young defenseman that they inserted in over the veteran that they got from Montreal, Jarabek, he was flying around last night. So to me, that's the thing that I hope for now with all these extra overtime games, and especially last night, double OT and no extra day off in between, that some of these young legs that they haven't had before spring back and contribute big time for them on Thursday night.
Rooster, you touched on Vrána. It's been a wild roller coaster series for him. He plays in game one, plays almost 7 minutes, gets the assist on the DSP goal.
How many minutes did he play last night?
22 minutes
last night. I mean, I know he had the penalties, but so, I actually like watching him play.
So he goes from basically 7 minutes to no minutes in game two.
Because he can fly around.
To 22 minutes last night. And you mentioned he's young. I think he's 22.
Yeah.
He's a guy they're gonna have to lean on him, especially with the Burakovsky injury.
Exactly. Because Burakovsky, we know, is, you know, didn't make the trip. He's going to be out for game four, maybe beyond that. Who knows about game five Saturday at Capital One Arena. But, yeah, you're right. Vrána going way, way, way up, Cakes. I mean, you know, and he deserved it. He earned it, right? He got the message. He wasn't good in game one in his defensive zone. He wasn't good in the neutral zone. He earned his playing time last night. And you know, again, we can criticize Barry Trotz for the decision he made in goal, not going with Holtby over Grubauer, which would have been the safer decision. It was not the safer decision last night to go with Juice over Jarabek on defense as your sixth defenseman, especially paired with Orpik. I suppose he had no other choice with Vrána, but to reward Vrána and to give him that kind of playing time in that kind of situation, you know, you got to give Barry credit, and you got to give Vrána credit because he earned it last night.
Chris, we knew the Caps were flawed defensively coming into the series because of the flurry of moves they made at the trade deadline. But it really was crystallized for me last night with all the three-on-twos and the two-on-ones, the odd man rushes last night. I just couldn't believe how many there were. How do they shore that up going forward in the series?
Columbus is a really, really, really good transition team. And I've said this, you know, on my shows and whatever guest hits I've done. They're terrific passing the puck. And we saw that on that tic-tac-toe back and forth goal off of the Orlov turnover. And he's been terrible in this series. So that's got to change. The only way I can think of to counter a transition team and a really good passing team, and there is some risk involved, is you have to be really over-aggressive, probably over-aggressive, on your forecheck and on your backcheck. You have to really hit it hard when they are in their defensive zone, and especially if they're behind their net trying to set something up for an outlet pass, because they're going to kill you if they get the speed, the transition, and the passing game going. They're so good at it. So to me, you have to take your chances, and you have to dig the Devontae Smith Pellies, the Jay Beagles, the Tom Wilsons, Larza, guys like that have to just go hard in their defensive zone to prevent them from getting that speed and that transition ability.
It's Chris Russell who joined us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Thanks, Chris. Talk
Thanks,
to you
guys.
Soon.
Appreciate you.
Yep. Thank you, buddy.
Talk to you soon, Rooster.
Just find a way to get this game on Thursday. Find a way to get a W. Come
make
back.
Make it 2-2.
Make it 2-2. Still think that they're, you know, going to lose the series. I get it, but just give yourself some
more
life.
I'll give props to Ovi. He'll look like
because
a
seer. Because if they lose game four and they're down 3-1 coming back home, I don't even know if I'll watch game five.
Oh, I'll watch.
I know you will.
You'll watch, but very dispassionately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll watch it through a tramadol haze.
Possibly.
Takes the summer is about to open up because every night you watch Wizards or Caps.
Yeah.
Sometimes both.
Correct.
Oh, how many beers did you go through last night?
It all comes to an end.
Three last night. I mean, overtime means
that extra beer.
It's three beer night.
Does Chris Farley get salty?
I mean, I barely see Chris Farley anymore. He's at the Boston Marathon. He's running the Valdez all the time. I never see him.
Right.
He told me, I don't know, could be months ago, weeks ago, he gets a little salty.
Every time Cakes has two
Cakes
beers right before
basically
sleep.
Quit running and he drinks beer every night.
Yeah, it's not the best thing for my long-term health. I understand.
When you have three beers right before you go to bed, I mean, because you're literally drinking three beers and then going to sleep.
Correct.
Can you make it through the night without having to get up and go pee?
Yes.
You have silly bladder.
Well,
you must have silly small prostate.
I do now. I didn't used to as a kid.
How can you do that?
Show, he goes a million times.
It's so weird. He could have three beers. Like if I had three beers and then just went right to bed, I'd have to wake up four times.
I have a silly brain. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
It shuts off my bladder when I'm asleep.
You're silly.
All right, later in the show, Mike Rizzo is going to join us as we go in the clubhouse. We will talk to the Nationals GM and president of baseball operations. Nats now at 500 with their win against the Mets last night.
When we come back, though, can we talk about the Southwest flight that everyone's just talking about today? The horrifying.
Unbelievable story.
I mean, terrible. Thank God only one person died. Horrible for that family, obviously.
Mm.
But that's pretty much your nightmare. That's pretty much your nightmare. Getting sucked out of the airplane.
Talk about getting Deuce 7 dealt to you.
A one-outer?
I mean, what are the odds
that
you're going to get almost sucked out of a plane at 32,000 feet?
And then she gets sucked out, and they pull her back in and still dies.
Yeah, incredible.
Oh,
awful story.
One-outer. The worst.
Stores in Tyson's, Rockville, and downtown D.C. For an appointment, call 800-HER-LOVE or MervisDiamond.com.
Sounds like a good plan.
Hooker.
Actually, I'm not exactly sure. Mother's Day, basically a month away, right? It's in May.
It's definitely in May.
May 12th, 13th, 14th, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
It's looming.
It is looming.
It'll be here before you know it.
My neighbor sent me a text and said, hey, we're going to we want to send our wives on a surprise trip to Atlantis.
Okay.
Can your wife go?
So just a wife trip.
Just a wife trip.
Okay.
I said, what?
Yeah.
No, that's not happening.
Because that sounds like a pricey surprise
trip. First of all, she's not going without me.
Right.
But she's definitely not going with a friend. I'm not spending that kind of cash.
No.
I love her, but I'm not spending that money.
$5,000?
I won't even send her to Nashville, and then I promised her.
All right, so Jason, you weren't here yesterday, and I don't remember why this came up. I think maybe because we were talking his son's 21st birthday.
Yeah.
And he's flying to Aruba, and we were talking about how his son's already more cultured than him.
Clearly.
In 21 years, he's visited far more of the world than Cakes in his 47 years.
Yep.
Yep.
And,
which I'm fine with. I don't have one iota of a problem with
we
that.
We got into cool the whole that. Nervous flying issue.
Right.
Cakes actually said he's not as nervous as he used to be. He even dozed off in a recent flight, which he never used to do.
It's rare.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like the opposite. I was like so casual. It's like, let's do the math. When are there actually plane accidents?
Right.
Almost never.
Right. That
they're
day.
Publicized when they're thousands and thousands and thousands.
Well, they happen
of
all the time in Russia.
Day.
They just don't happen here.
Right.
But the
Russia
Southwest
Africa.
Thing
Africa,
definitely
yeah.
would get you nervous.
Well, I mean, when you hear stories like that, I wouldn't classify myself as a nervous flyer. I don't love it. Or maybe a little anxious
yeah.
on the takeoff. But once I get up to cruising, I'm fine. I don't like to fly just because it's boring and it's uncomfortable for me.
Right.
But
it's time consuming.
But I wouldn't call myself a fearful flyer. But when you hear stories like this.
Oh, you would have been fearful if you are in Southwest, was it 1380?
Yeah, I mean, that's.
From New York to Dallas.
That's just
you would have
awful.
Been nervous.
But you're butt sized that you have that pilot. Well, the female fighter pilot.
She's an American hero. She should be lauded for getting that bird safely
so
down at
32,000 feet, cruising altitude. An engine blows, correct?
Engine explodes.
Now, the shrapnel from the engine hit the window and broke the window. Is that how that
correct.
Window cracked?
Yep.
And then the woman who was sitting on the window, she was halfway out the window. She got sucked out.
Yes.
But they were able to pull her back in, although it took a couple minutes.
Yeah, passengers pulled the woman who later died back into the plane as she was being sucked out.
Right.
Could you imagine?
And those windows, by the way, are they're not very big.
No.
But and I'm guessing this woman was probably just an average-sized woman, let's call her 5'6".
But, I mean, the force of that, when that window breaks, of everything just getting sucked out of that one little spot in the plane, I don't think it matters at that point how big or small you are. Like, you're going towards that window.
Yeah.
It's, you know,
well,
like, did she have
her
seatbelt on?
What
I don't
killed
know.
Her? Was it the air pressure? Was
I
it,
don't know.
I don't think you can breathe up there.
No,
you probably can't.
I haven't seen confirmed reports that the person that was being sucked out is the one that I saw. The person that died suffered a heart attack.
That was the early
and
report.
Maybe a different person. That,
no, it's the
no,
same. No,
definitely
person.
The same person.
Yeah, they confirmed
with shrapnel.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
So
they
she
said
was hit
the shrapnel
in the head?
Killed her.
Yeah, 99% sure that's what happened. She was hit by the exploding engine.
Mm.
Unbelievable.
Because she had the window seat.
But I mean, think about it, Drew. That window is about the size of my computer
oh,
screen.
Oh, it's tiny. Yeah.
Yeah. How could you
how
fit
can
your
a
body
how can
through
a
there?
Body fit through there?
Maybe she was silly.
No, maybe her like her head.
I mean, she's five.
Like, as soon as that window explodes,
she was an average sized woman.
Yeah. The force that is going out of the plane at that point, she's going to draw whatever's closest to that hole out, and that's her head. Her head and her upper body. So once, even though it's small, I mean that force, it's like a giant vacuum cleaner just sucking her head and
no,
her upper
I get
body.
It obviously
it's
happened.
Awful.
It's just hard to believe.
Well, I'll never sit next to a window again. Bank on that. I don't like to anyway because you're trapped, you know, and it's hard. Like if you got to go pee, it's
yeah. I'm an aisle guy.
Yeah.
I'm an aisle guy anyway.
Like the aisle.
I actually usually like the window because I can put my head on the
exactly.
side.
Exactly, it's more comfortable. But I will sacrifice comfort, you know, to
for
not get sucked out the window.
Yeah, but how many times has this happened? Again,
well, I can think of
the
two.
Odds are like 0.0001.
Odds are irrelevant to people that worry. Odds me are meaningless.
Right.
You know, because yeah, people worry a greater chance to win the Powerball.
Yeah, I don't enter that
yeah,
either.
Well, people who,
oh, I do.
And people who worry think it's going to happen to them every time they get on a plane.
I don't think it's going to happen. I think it could.
Yeah, right. But
that's all it takes.
There's always that slight
that's all
possibility.
It takes the could.
I take a little bit of a different approach to it. I think, you know, it's an awful tragedy this woman died, right?
Right. But you're glad that happened to her, not because it won't
no,
happen
no,
to you?
No.
That theory?
Look how many survived.
It could have been way worse, right? The engine explodes
oh,
on an airliner, and the only person that died was the one that was hit
oh,
by
it's a miracle.
Right, these planes are so advanced and they're so computerized, it's nearly impossible to crash them.
Well, also the pilot,
pilot
who's 56,
was silly.
Yeah, of course,
she used to land planes on boats.
She's
flying 150
she's
miles
the
an hour.
Female Sully,
first fatality in 9 years
yep.
for a U.S. airline.
I know it's pretty great.
I mean, it's pretty very rare.
No, of course it is, but it still just scares the poop out of you. You don't think about that? I drive over, go over a bridge, and I know it's a one outer, but I think. If there's an earthquake right now, this is going to be our
an earthquake.
I
you don't think that?
An earthquake in Maryland or Virginia?
Well, anything. You know, anything. Or like I think about the Minnesota bridge collapse when I'm on. I think of
right.
You think the
worst
things
yeah, worst
that have ever
scenario.
Happened all the time.
So I get
24
that.
Hours a day. That's how I'm wired.
You're just manic.
You're fatalist.
I just think that way all the time.
I couldn't live that way.
But you're more likely to die crossing the street today.
Yeah, I think about that too. When I cross the street, I think about don't get hit by a car.
Of course.
You don't think that? It's terrifying.
It's been drilled into your head.
I mean, you know what crossing the street is? Terrifying.
I think you're more.
I look left and right.
No, I think it's beyond that. I think he's more likely to die crossing the street with Tom Cruise and Will Ferrell driving the car. It's way greater than just dying and walking across the street. The odds are way beyond that.
Of getting sucked out of an airplane?
Yeah,
you get hit across the street. That happens all the time.
Exactly.
I've hit two pedestrians.
The odds are crazy.
I've personally hit two pedestrians. It's happened.
And that was in the era of really before distracted drivers.
You
were the original distracted driver.
No. I hit both people. But it was just one of those deals where you look left, look right.
Yeah.
You look left, and then you turn right again, and out of nowhere, to God, just a person appears.
Right. He's an apparition.
Yeah. A person just appeared.
I love the fact that when that happened at Fairfax that you just drove off.
I did.
And then you regretted it.
This is a true story.
Didn't the guy
give
you a finger?
This is a legit true story. I hit and ran a guy. He literally climbed up my window. I drove off and I said, well, that's hit and run. Turned around and I said, are you? Because he walked away. I said, I'm sorry. Are you okay?
Oh, wait a second. Can you
and
just
he
back
flipped
up a second?
Me the bird.
You just said he climbed up your window. So you hit him and he actually.
Are you okay?
Went up.
You hit him because
he tried to jump up.
I thought you just touched a guy.
No. This guy. It was like a deer hitting my
windshield.
Was
it coming out of the parking lot?
I was turning left out of like 7-Eleven. It was one of those blind spot deals. You look right, you look left. And you know how this never makes sense to me. If you're at a light and you get the green light, the pedestrians on the corner will get the walk sign. So like if I'm going to turn right, the pedestrians that are waiting for the white thing to say walk, at the same time I get a green, they get a walk. And you just have to be constantly aware of it.
Yeah.
You have to constantly be aware of it. But, you know, it's happened to me twice before in my lifetime of driving.
You gotta look at that signal.
Well, I mean, look at the walking signal.
Yeah.
I don't look at the walking signal. I look for people.
Oh, you have to look at the cross
light. I just didn't see the person.
You gotta know that if the other cross light is red, then that traffic coming across to them is red. So that's the only time they can walk across.
I understand, except maybe maybe we should all wait a little bit. Because you do end up playing Frogger.
That's why I always cross in the crosswalk, Ricky.
No, but I hit the guy. He climbed up my windshield, started screaming, yelling at me, jumped off.
Right, flipped you the bird.
And I knew he was dead or he was walking around. And then I was like, well, I still can't do it. I got to stop. So I turned around and I said, are you okay? And he flipped me the bird and kept walking.
Right.
So that was like, all right.
And he didn't take down your license plate.
No, I said, we're fine.
That's it, baby.
It was dark. That was a little bit of a contributing factor case.
Right.
Was that a night show? Doing a night show?
Was either doing a night show or doing the mornings. And whatever it was dark. I went to 7-Eleven. No, because it was dark.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I have no idea.
So you won't fly a window seat anymore.
No.
Southwest probably gets a hit, too.
Yeah, they have such a good track record.
They do, but they also said that particular engine that blew up that are on a ton of the Southwest planes.
Right, but they say that thing's had like 240 million miles, engine.
I know.
So you do have to just chalk it up as a one-hour.
But some people go, I'm never flying that airline again. They do.
I know,
they
some
will
people
say that.
Will. But you have to chalk it up in all seriousness to just,
bad
it's
luck.
Your time.
It's bad luck.
Yep. It's just your time. Why are you laughing about these?
It's your time.
It is.
Well, there's nothing you
when
can do.
When something like that happens?
When you get sucked out of an airplane, you literally did nothing wrong. You had nothing. A lot of times I think you do something wrong.
Your car just got pulled.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
Yeah.
It's like the woman who died behind the armoire in Florida.
Yep. It's much like that.
She might have caused her.
She was just trying to unplug something.
Yeah, but that's just a donk move.
To get stuck.
If you get stuck between your armoire and your wall and you
die. I don't even
know
how it's physically possible, but.
Must have been a big-ass heavy armoire.
We will talk some Nationals. They evened up their record to 500 last night with a win against the Mets. They will actually win that series without Strasburg or Max Scherzer, regardless of what happens today.
Two big wins.
Mike Rizzo, President GM of Baseball Ops,
Rizzo.
Will join us at 9 o'clock right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.